We have a guest who is working on a PhD project focusing on a human sleep, or if I want to explain better, she's developing a tool. Right?
Yeah, right. Hi, yeah. Nice to be here. So I'm a biomedical engineer. My name is Irene. Nice. And right now I'm pursuing a PhD in computer and control engineering. Mm-hmm. And the aim of this PhD project is to develop a tool for minimally invasive sleep studies. Mm-hmm. So employing artificial intelligence techniques to analyze signals collected during sleep in order to monitor health parameters and the health status of people.
So yeah. Why is this early diagnosis of sleeping disorders are really important?
So it is really important because sleep disorders are right now acknowledged among the earliest markers of neurodegenerative diseases such as Parkinson's disease. And the first sleep disorders actually come before 14 years before the diagnosis of Parkinson's, for example. So mm-hmm. it is really important to detect early these disorders in order to monitor the disease progress and also to apply disease modifying interventions to lower the progression of neurodegeneration.
All right, so what kind of tools do you use for detecting? Like, is there a software or is there hardware attaching to the body, like watches?
It's actually both. Okay. So right now, the state of the art is polysomnography, which mm-hmm. is a collection of different biosignals during sleep. And it is made by electrodes and other kinds of sensors. So we develop a tool for analyze what comes from these electrodes and these sensors. And then we apply artificial intelligence technique to speed up this process and to develop automatic techniques, for example, to analyze mm-hmm. this.
So you're using the big data technology, right? Right, for the AI technology, right?
Yeah, the aim is that. Right mm-hmm. now, we don't have that big amount of data to actually call it big data, mm-hmm. but the aim is to go towards that direction.
So how do you want to collect these kind of data? Like, so we need a kind of database for this,
yeah,
right?
we need actually people that sleep during the night. So right now we are working with the hospital in Turin, Molinette Hospital, and we work with Parkinson's disease patients. And what we do is basically we apply sensors and electrodes to the people sleeping mm-hmm. and then we
only people that are sleeping at night, not the day. So then
right
counted.
Now it's only at night, but I know that many people are sleeping at day as well. So maybe the fact that having a minimally invasive technology and wearable technology allows you to actually perform this test everywhere, anytime, whereas right now you can only do that in a sleep lab in a hospital. So
okay. So there is like a small amount of people that are right now, they're in the prototype phase or they're testing or what?
We're still in the prototype phase. Yeah. But yes, we have a
sooner
cohort.
Or later we are going
yeah,
to the next phase.
We have
phase.
A cohort of patients which is growing every day. So yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So how can this computational approach actually improve sleep?
It can improve sleep in many ways. First of all, the first thing is that these sleep scorings are actually analyzed manually by sleep technicians, and this takes a huge amount of time, like 8 hours. An 8-hour recording takes like 3 business days to be analyzed by a technician and then a sleep neurologist.
So in this current phase, it's not currently analyzing by software, it's currently...
No, this is like what people do. What we do is apply this software to to this approach so that the analysis and the diagnosis is faster, and so you get faster results in a lower amount of time, actually, yeah.
I have a question that comes in my mind right now, so... During this process of your PhD project, what is the biggest challenge for you, right, when you're doing this project?
Well, the biggest challenge is, I think right now, to be able to communicate from a technology point of view with the clinical people.
Oh God, it's yes. totally relatable. It's totally relatable. Yeah, I can say that even in the programming parts, when you want to specify something to other people that doesn't know anything about this kind of stuff, it's really hard to say, look, this can't be happened, this can't be done. And it's really hard. Yeah,
it's really, really hard when you have to interface with people from other backgrounds. So I think one of the biggest challenges is to be able to understand what the medical doctors need and what you can give them, and so what you can implement together.
Exactly. I wish if you could have some like a translator for us, like you could just translate it for us. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But okay. So how is your project? Like, you like it in working in this area in Polytechnical?
Yeah, I really like it because, as I said before, I have a degree in biomedical engineering, uh-huh. and I think that gave me the kind of multidisciplinary approach and state of mind to be able to do this as a PhD. Right now, I like it, so I think.
All right. So, how about your colleagues? You like them? It's okay.
Some of them are actually here in this room.
Yeah, I can see them. But
yeah, I like them very much. I think we have a really nice group of people in our lab, and we always make stuff together. So
I think it's really important to have a really good community when you are working on big projects, something like this, because you need to also concentrate on this project and have some mental health for yourself.
Yes, because sometimes as PhD students, we tend to forget that actually, so we focus a lot on our work, but actually tend to forget that there's something else. And I think to be able to have nice people around you and people that always support you is something that gives you the strength to go on, even when you are, when you face hardships or when you face low day or something
as I said before, like, you know, life's has ups and downs, so it's really
there
important.
There are so many ups and downs in PhD, but
more question, would you use this kind of technology on yourself, like in the prototype phase?
Yes, I actually do.
Oh, you collect your data and you sell it.
Yes, because you don't say no to one extra person collecting data, of course.
And like, do you advertise it to your friends? Like, hey, come here, I have some devices that you could...
Yeah, many of my friends are
undergoing
to test. And, oh, if you want to take part in it too, you can.
Of course, where can I sign?
You can sign there and then we can also...
I'll do this after the show, sure.
Yeah, definitely.
That's good. So many friends, okay. And how long are you in Torino?
So I've been studying here for 8 years right now, because I actually started my third year PhD, but in here in Torino.
Wow,
I've been here long.
So okay,
quite long. Time flies when you have fun, they say. So it's 8 years that feel like 2 years.
Most people don't like to study, and when they are studies, they don't have fun. You don't see that like that, right? You have fun. Like, is it a hobby for you, or is it just some
studying
kind of career prep? Yeah.
I think
because studying is not fun for so many people.
Maybe both. I mean, if you study something that you really like, maybe you enjoy your time. Of course, there were some exams that were not so fun. That fun actually, but I think again, I had a nice group of people around me, and I think we just made through it somehow. So
that's good. This kind of exams that's going to cry, and you just lay down your friends like, help me, come on.
Yeah. <All right. laughs> You know the feeling, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was doing the ask me, come on. thank you Irina, for joining us today, and now let's hear a song, and we'll be right back with another person. Thank you today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a nice experience.